So we begin this weekend and for the next following weeks going through St. Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, last week we had the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. And if we didn't have that feast, we would have heard the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, where Jesus begins this unveiling of his new plan for his children. And what does it really mean? What does a life of a disciple really look like? And so we know those Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, the humble, the peacemakers, those who thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. He's reminding them and reminding us really what a life of a disciple is like. And he spends, that's chapter 5, 6, and 7, just unpacking that. The reality of what this new kingdom that he's bringing will be like. And so today he tells us that as disciples, we are salt and we are light. That we are need, our presence is necessary in the world. You know, so for today, 2020, we hear about light and we think about electricity. Available all the time, just flip the switch and we have light. That wasn't the case 2,000 years ago. For them to have light, they needed a candle or an oil lamp or some type of fire in order to have light. And for salt, I mean, we're just used to having salt to add to our food or to put it at the beginning of our meal as we're preparing. But salt was necessary for survival. Because, again, no electricity, meaning no refrigeration. So the meat, the meat was able to be kept by being salted. Salt was also used in the fire to make it hotter so they could cook better, purify. The word salary, the way that we know what we get paid, comes from that same word of salt. Because salt was so necessary, sometimes they were paid in salt. Or the money they were given for their work was used to buy salt. It was necessary for survival, salt and light. And so are we. Our presence, the presence of a Christian, of Christ in the world is necessary. Without it, it spoils, it's rotten, it's dark. We can say it's dead. I remember hearing one time, commenting on this passage, a Christian was complaining about the condition of the world, talking with an atheist about how bad the world was. And the atheist said, "Mr. Christian, you're called to be salt and you're called to be light. So if the world is dark, if the world is dying, it's your fault. Don't blame us. Don't blame the atheists. You have the charge." And so when we look out into the world and see how bleak it can be, we have to examine ourselves. Are we really answering this call to be the salt and the light in the world? And if the world is not as it should be, then whose fault is it? Have we truly heard and responded to this call to be salt and to be light, to truly change the world? It's the opportunity. I mean, we can call it our command, our marching orders, but it's an opportunity that everything that you do, if done for the glory of our Heavenly Father, can change the world for good. You know, I hope we expect the priests and the religious to preach the gospel, the true gospel. To preach the catechism, the teachings of the church. So when they out there, whoever they are, and confront or encounter me, I would hope that they in some way would expect. So there might be some hesitancy on that part if someone's not open to the gospel. But each one of you who are living as a lay man and lay woman in the world with the charge of changing the world is what the lay people are supposed to do. It's your job to change the world. And so you have almost like a secret mission that when you go to school in your classroom, when you go to work, neighborhood parties. You have the ability to change the world one person at a time by being light and by being salt. You know, both of these things, salt and light, don't exist for themselves. Salt is useless by itself. And if you're hungry, don't grab a rock of salt or a shaker. It's not going to satisfy you. It's going to make it worse. Light doesn't exist for itself. It only exists to illuminate the other so that the other person can see, can read, can have heat, can exist. The candles burn themselves out in order to give light for the other. It's a perfect example, perfect analogy of our lives as Christians. Because each of us, as a layperson or a clergy, are called to a life of service, to allow our lives to be used, to be spent, to be burnt for the sake of the other. This is what Christ is inviting each one of us into, this life of radical discipleship, to go out and change the world. Each one of us is on mission. Each one of us has been given that command, and we have the opportunity to do so. And so we ask ourselves, how well am I responding? You know, when we hear what St. Paul said today, I didn't come with fancy words or this amazing wisdom. I came with Christ and Him crucified. The power of the gospel is all He had. You know, He was living in a time when the Greeks were famous for their sophistry, their debating ability, and they would craft these beautiful arguments, and it was hard to refute. And they prided themselves on the ability to confound and confuse because their words were so elegant. St. Paul said, I'm not playing that game. I know Christ and Him crucified. So you might be thinking, Father, I didn't go to seminary. I don't know chapter and verse of the Bible. I don't know the catechism. Do you know Christ and Him crucified? Have you been baptized? Have you received the light? Do you pray every day? Have you been confirmed? Do you receive the Holy Eucharist? Do you go to confession regularly? If you live the life that the church invites us to live, then you are ready. You are equipped to go into the world and to change it for good. Because the opposite is also true, because Jesus talked about the salt losing its flavor. So it's not automatic. We have to respond to this invitation. We have to acknowledge and hear these words and go out and be salt and light to the world, to live a life of service. And that's what Isaiah, the prophet, was saying in the first reading. He didn't say go out and do amazing things. Feed, clothe, free the oppressed, take care of those on the margins, the less fortunate, the forgotten. That's how you can make the biggest impact in the world. So I challenge you, who is it in your life, in your family, in your classroom, at your office, down the block from your house, who needs the salt of the gospel and the light of Jesus Christ? Who out there is dying for the lack of preservative and living in the dark coldness because there's no light? That's the person that maybe the Lord is inviting you to share the life-saving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ. That He is the answer to every question. He is the answer to every desire. Without Him, we're dead. But with Him, we have life. We have everything. And the promise of eternal life, the very thing that we all desire more than anything else, is to know the Lord and to know His love. You have the opportunity to spread that love, to share that truth with everyone that you meet. And we do it for the glory of our Heavenly Father. This is what Jesus said, let your good works shine. So it's not a false humility. Let your good works shine. What was it just last week where we're all mourning the death of Kobe Bryant? The greatest basketball player of his era, maybe? And then what happened in the days, the hours and the days afterwards? We realized that he had gone to Mass that morning, that he had received the Holy Eucharist, and that, yes, he had some mistakes earlier in his life, but because of his faith, because of the influence of a Catholic priest, he turned his life around and became a light to those around him, especially his family. How many stories have come out in these last days about the influence that he had, not because of his athletic talent, but because he was a man in love with Jesus. That's how we change lives, by allowing our life to be changed from the lowest point, maybe, that Christ can reach us and bring us to the heights of joy. I mean, when you saw the videos of him talking about his family, talking about his daughters, like, I was overcome with joy watching him and the joy that he had talking about his family. This is how we change lives. You know, the church this week, we're celebrating the week for marriage. Marriages, families, that's the salt and the life of the world. And I know that many of us come from broken homes or in the midst of a less than perfect family. And so we pray for the healing of the families, of the hearts, of those who are stuck in these prisons. And so maybe those of us who come from the good families, you need to bring your salt and light to those in our own parish community who are struggling because their family is not perfect and they're suffering in the darkness. We are a holy family parish. We really need to continue to be holy families. To hear this message today, this life-changing, life-saving message, that because you've been baptized, you have the power to change the world. Be the salt, be the light that the world needs. Go and change the world.